The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
In fact, I'd like to ask you just several concepts and just get your feedback on this as I throw it out.
Next on Life Today, best-selling author Dr. Emerson Eckeridge interviews James and Betty about their marriage.
How do you deal with expectations in marriage?
Well, she's supposed to meet my needs all the time.
Good, good. Okay, next question.
Wait. Do I get the answer, too?
Yes, you do.
Go for it.
Yes, you do.
Well, the answers to living in love, next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Emerson Eckeridge, and I'm excited about being here with James and Betty, especially to interview them on their new book, Living in Love. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, let's go ahead and really tell the truth, Emerson. We invited Emerson here to talk to him about love and respect, which is the name of his ministry. It's what he teaches to couples and about marriage. And he said, well, can I tell you what I really want to do? He said, just tell people the books and the bookstores. I want to talk to you about your book because I just read it. Mm-hmm. And so really, to be honest with you, he's taken over. And so we're going to just sit here and say, yes. To the chase.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm excited because it's such a transparent, truthful story of the two of you. That story, that narrative is fascinating, and it gives us hope. And to see the long years of your marriage and all that you've been through, and then to see the success and to realize that that comes not because you have a perfect relationship or you're perfect people, but one of the things I say is that the difference between couples that have a successful marriage and those who don't isn't the lack of conflict. It's that the successful couples know how to deal with conflict. They know how to do the dance. And this is coming through loud and clear. And this is a great model for how to do marriage because it's not going to be a piece of cake. It is a challenge because God made us different. I say, a wife says, I have nothing to wear. What she means is she has nothing new, right? Her husband says, I have nothing to wear. He means he has nothing clean.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. And I love that illustration because we say the same thing, but we mean something different.
Yeah.
And God made us pink and blue. And we're not wrong, we're just different.
That's right.
But as a result of that, there are tensions. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:28, if you marry, you have not sinned, but you will have trouble. And what trouble? Earlier on, he said the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does, and the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And he's talking about sexual intimacy. And so it's equal authority, equal say. And I said, Lord, you're saying equal authority here. I mean, like on Tuesday night, does he decide they're going to be sexually intimate, or does she decide that they're not going to be sexually intimate? And that inaudible voice said, yes.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, have you designed trouble?
Yes.
And so Tuesday night comes for all of us. Tuesday night comes. Yeah. Tuesday night comes. And you are sharing with us how to deal with the Tuesday night, so to speak. And it is exciting to hear that. In fact, I'd like to ask you just several concepts and just get your feedback on this as I throw it out. For instance,
you tell me what we talk about in the book, right?
Well,
you're
yes.
not wanting to come just from a whole other next
you
book.
Can say anything you want because this is your show.
But I mean, are these things you read in the book that cause you to have an interest for us to
yes,
to discuss?
Both. Yes,
because we did discuss it.
Yes,
right,
and
okay.
For instance, like expectations. When I say the word expectations, James, what comes to your mind? How do you deal with expectations in marriage?
Well, she's supposed to meet my needs all the time.
Good, good. Okay, next question.
Wait. Do I get the answer too?
Yes, you do.
Go for it.
Yes, you do.
Well, as far as my perspective of expectations was, I thought I was like a lot of girls. When you first get married, you think, oh, it's this all day romance, all day, just in love, and you don't even realize how much baggage you bring into the marriage. And so you have all these expectations, like I probably felt like he had more troubled baggage than I did, and I'm going to help him get straightened out.
Yes, that nurturing mothering.
That right.
It's motivated
right.
Well.
He reminded me several times that I was not his mother.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm supposed to be his helpmate, and we're supposed to walk through this relationship together
yes.
in oneness. And so I think I expect, you know, like any young girl, you expect things that you have all planned out in your mind how this perfect marriage is going to be.
Yes.
And it's not like that. Because you are two different personalities.
Yes. And how did you deal with that moment where you were trying to be helpful, trying to be that helpmate suitable, caring deeply, and if you're like Sarah, suddenly I'm beginning to feel mothered.
Yeah.
And feeling like she's scolding me, and, you know, I've got one mother, I don't need another one.
That's right.
How did you deal with that?
Well, you know, because we do, God does give us, as women, that mothering nature. But as everything in our lives, God, everything that He gave us, we have to allow Him to bring that balance in
yes.
our lives. And the mothering was to come as we started our families. But I was supposed to be His partner, His mate that wanted to be an encouragement to what all God had called him to do. Mm. And it took me a while to learn that. And as far as James was more transparent, even with his troubled background that he had. I had more of the stable life growing up. But even with the troubled background, he was more transparent than it was. I kind of had to grow into that because I thought I was supposed to be something that everybody else expected me to be.
Yes, yes. And so there's
expectations
externally as well.
And so I created this in my own mind,
yeah,
you know,
huge.
The perfect little wife.
Yes, yes.
And it didn't
yes.
quite work out that way.
If you think this is a book about having arrived, you waste your time. This is about the journey mm-hmm. and the joy of the journey. Even, hey, why do people try to climb Mount Everest? Let me tell you, climbing Mount Everest is a snap compared to being married happily, joyfully. But I'm going to tell you, they do it. They go out and yes. they work out
yes.
to do it.
Yes.
For heaven's sake, can't we work for the greatest relationship ever conceived? And that's the relationship between mm-hmm. a husband and a wife. The only thing that can compare with it is the possibility of the relationship between Christ and His church. Mm-hmm. But it's too much like most marriages, ending in divorce. Sad. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be that way. Excuse me, I don't mean to preach.
Yeah. Well, and people go into relationships thinking it shouldn't be hard, and yet there is a challenge, and it is tough. How have you dealt with not letting that freak you out? Somehow you're able to roll with these difficulties. For instance, when you think of conflict resolution, how do you resolve conflict?
Well, we know it's going to be there. I've had people say to me, even those who work for me, our parents never showed us how to resolve mm-hmm. conflict. They just ignored it, walked away, it was there, they lived in two worlds. How do you resolve conflict? Because they observed that we did. We recognize conflict. You've got to recognize it's a conflict and seek resolution, not insulation. What most people do is they go off and seek what I call conflict insulation. Get somebody to comfort me. A lot of times we think comfort from someone in our misery is wise counsel. If that comfort, and so often we all need comfort, if that comfort doesn't take us into counsel that leads towards some solution or resolution, you're just being comforted in your separate worlds. You're going to seek camaraderie and compatibility with more miserable people oftentimes, or a counselor that's not wise counsel. Mm. So we try to go into great detail about how you can have conflict resolution. And we have the conflict, but we don't live miserable.
No, and really, James was really learned that easier than I did about being able to confront and be able to work through the situation, whatever conflict came up. I was a world record pouter. I didn't want to have conflict because I felt like I had a lot of fear in my life. I had a lot of low self-esteem, a lot of intimidation, and I felt like I could never win an argument, so to speak. And that's really, I shouldn't look at it that way. I really, you know, I didn't feel like I was smart enough to be in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd want to withdraw and pout. And thank goodness he wouldn't let me do that. He would draw it out of me.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to, sometimes the frustration comes out. But as you grow together, you learn how to approach those conflicts with God being the, has to be the center of your, any communication. And, you know, it's a journey. And God's more about the journey. He wants to show us. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to fall more in love with each other, which we do every day. And when we titled the book Living in Love, that didn't mean we had all the answers. We don't have. We're still mm-hmm. working out things mm-hmm. because we're living together. That's part of life. And we grow and we learn from those situations, those times whenever we think, how did I stay with you this long? You know, everybody has those thoughts. And yet we work through it, and we have come to a place where we can laugh about it later. And, you know, that's what makes it. And I think one thing that has kept it going in our life, that love, is that we've tried to keep, even with our busy life and our family, our children growing up and everything, we tried to keep this relationship first.
Very insightful, very helpful. What about this topic, sex?
I think sex is wonderful. Absolutely awesome. I've wanted I want to read the Song of Solomon today.
Every night.
Yeah, a lot. I said, here's the thing. It's the greatest God. I don't know that you ever had a more wonderful idea. I don't know that all women agree totally with that. You're so cute. I don't know all the most effective moves. I'm still learning, praying, studying, asking her to help me know. But here's what I do know. I do know that most of us are damaged goods. I know that we've been exposed to images and enticements that become entanglements. I've seen things and saw things as a boy I wish I'd never seen. They're like tattoos on your brain. It's more than a monkey on your back. It's like a gorilla on your back, a 100-pound gorilla. And I would say that lust was a reality in my life. Lust could have destroyed me. I would say this lust would have destroyed me. I would say greater than sex was when you're strong and sensitive and love God, you're very attractive to women. And I was very visible, and it seemed very attractive. Not to horrible women, but women who perhaps didn't have a father. Or maybe it never really felt love, and they saw somebody that had love, and I was attractive, Betty. To them, it seemed. And you knew that I noticed beauty. And she felt very insecure. Betty has understood we're going through a process, and it has been absolutely many times challenging. But for every couple, they can make it. And sometimes you bring a circle of prayer in and accountability.
Well, there again, it comes back to commitment, communication, and compassion, and a big one, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Because none of us are perfect. We all have these things that we wish we hadn't done, these things that in life, you know, that are challenges. And we have to realize that we're in this together. It's not your problem. It's not my problem. It's our challenge.
Yes.
That with God in the center of it, we can get through this. And sex is so much more than the physical, which is very important, but it's about sensitivity. It is about forgiveness. It's about being compassionate with one another. It's about loving each other when we don't feel that they're very lovely right now. You know, it's being able to get through those difficult times. And then I think that God just in His beauty and His grace and His love, He makes it all fresh and new for us again.
And this is one of the powerful things in the book that I want everybody to really understand, because you're so transparent on this point. And this is a real issue in the culture. And so if a husband comes and makes an honest confession about, let's say, lust, immediately that creates fear in the heart of a woman, makes her feel insecure. Now the question is, can this couple do the dance? And here's the dynamic. You're feeling fearful and insecure, but come across judgmental. He's feeling like, I'm going to be honest before God and my wife, and I'm going to be a man of honor who does this, only to suddenly feel ashamed. This is the dynamic that's going on in our culture, Betty and James. Mm-hmm. What would you say to couples who are at that point where they really need to have this discussion, because healing's about to happen, but this thing can blow up in their face and really put a wedge between them and destroy the relationship, whereas the two of you did not let that happen? You've alluded to many of the dynamics, but I want to just articulate it that way and have you comment additionally.
Well, let me say to all who are listening, I thank God you were listening. You heard profound wisdom and insight just come from Emerson's, not only his mouth, but his heart and the mind of God. Well, that's precisely what happens. And I believe it takes supernatural enabling for the natural not to happen. And God supernaturally enabled Betty and supernaturally enabled me to not allow myself to take on a shame that Jesus died to take. He took it. And somehow we were able to see that. So really seeing the truth, not somebody's opinion, but the truth that Jesus will take it all and that he will help us bear it. And you've got to understand, this is what I try to help. Men are naturally attracted to beauty. God made us that way, and he made beauty. And we recognize it. I recognize it in everything, and certainly in women. Emerson, I can see it. But that doesn't mean the woman is less. Or is it being compared? And don't ever compare your wife. Don't make them feel that way. They already are doing it on their own. They're comparing. Don't do that to them. And please understand that because a man notices doesn't mean he's wicked or dirty old man or he's just a man. And learning to be a healthy and with supernatural enabling to where we can appreciate beauty and not be consumed or distracted by it or addicted or controlled. That's a God thing. And that's what we talk about in the book. We really go through these things specifically, and I've got to touch on this. We talk about the invisible enemy. We talk about the spiritual battle that's feeding all these things. And you know, if you keep feeding that dog, he keeps coming back, and we keep feeding appetites and feeding problems. But there's an enemy that wants you to feed, and he wants then that flesh, that appetite to be fed, and it becomes bigger. It becomes the 100-pound gorilla, the 800-pound gorilla. It becomes that monstrosity. But listen to me. You recognize this enemy, you can walk over him like dust. We can be overcomers. We don't want to escape the battle, but we can win. Again, we go into detail, openness. It works what God does. And I'm telling you, you can enjoy the battle. You can enjoy the victory. I mean, you go athletic competitions, a battle. You like to win, but you got to deal with the defeat so you can come back and win. It's all part of the processes of life. Living in love. We talk about living and we talk about life. So we really try to open our heart and our lives for people to read an open book
powerful.
And learn and go to the book.
Powerful.
And we're honored that you feel that way because you've tried to help so many people. And so we just say to all of our viewers, there's hope. You can get help. Sometimes you find wise counsel. I believe you find it around people of God. I believe there are great churches with people who care. So seek out wise counsel. And I want to just say, I know you've asked to talk to us, and I really thank you. Would you say thanks to Emerson for his interest in marriages and wanting to talk to us? And let me just say, please listen to me. He's got some books that could be like textbooks on marriage. This is, it's beyond a gift book, but it's so much like a gift book. It's just incredible statements and truths, and it's so beautifully illustrated. It's a perfect gift to give anybody that'll read it. Love and respect. It's what we've got to have in marriages. And I really encourage you to get it, and then he's pointed it out, living in love. We deal with these things, and so they're in the bookstores. I really encourage you to get them. Father, I pray for every couple. I pray for every person that wishes they were a couple. I pray for every person that had a marriage hurt or even divorced. Lord, it's not the end of life. It can be the beginning of a whole new journey with you. I pray you'll fill them with hope and that we can give them help. And Lord, you'll direct their life and their steps because it's not hopeless. You are our hope. I pray they'll find that hope and that help in Jesus' name. Emerson, thank you. And to all of you in the audience, thank you. And to all of you, thank you. Can I just tell you this? We have found incredible joy in relieving the suffering of others. Not a bailout, not something somebody takes and distributes, but a love. Not something forced, but something that comes freely. I want you to just look, please, look at the images that reveal the need, I promise you, the need that only love, but that love can meet. Watch this.
Please help this child right here. We don't want her to die. This is a tragedy that in the 21st century that children are dying of waterborne diseases. Do a miracle right now, Lord. Do a miracle. Lord, take away the suffering of this little girl, please, in Jesus' name. Take away the pain of this little girl. Take away the diarrhea, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You know, there's some prayers that you really wonder how in the world they can be answered. And then there's some and that, you know, I've said you're really the answer to people's prayers. And I wish this would get deep down in your heart. Our prayers are answered far more effectively, even in behalf of others. And by the way, the most effective praying is not self-focused, even though you have need. Bring your petition, bring your heart cry. But our prayers are answered. And you can just see this very clearly throughout Scripture. Isaiah 58, real clear. But when you become an answer to someone's prayer. Now, you are the answer to the prayer of that missionary. You are the answer to the cry of that child and the family. And the answer is simple. It's clean, non-contaminated drinking water. The telephone number there on the screen, as I say over and over, always there is a prayer line for you, paid for by love. This is your opportunity to call that number and say, I want to be an answer to someone's prayer. I want to be an answer to the cry of that child. And the answer is simple. I'm going to give them fresh, clean water. We are together going to give those areas water wells, non-contaminated water. We're committed at the request of the missionaries and the overseers, those who give relief and life in Jesus' name and love others. We are committed to drill, but we can only do it with your help, 415 water wells this year in 15 different countries. Would you drill one of them? Father, I pray a couple, an individual, right now will say, I can do it, and glad to do it in Jesus' name. If you can give a well, would you dial the number and say, I'm putting that gift amount like a check on my bank card, or I'm mailing in a check, call us and tell us you're mailing it. Make the check to life. But keep this in mind. If you can give a part of a well, 1,200 or 2,400, and pray one person joins you and you have the goal, or three others join you and we have it. Do what you can. No gift too small. And I really want you to understand that $48 gives 10 people water the rest of their life. That is a gift that just keeps giving. I don't know where you could better put $48. 144, 30 people water for life. We want to send you Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word. We're going to gladly send you our book that Betty and I wrote, Living in Love. We've been talking about that, and God wants us all to live in love. We tell you some of the secrets, the insights. I believe that you will be inspired on the journey with us. We'll say thank you, a beautiful journal also, and an incredible bronze that talks about God's heart, the Father's heart. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making the best gift you can.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease, and once ingested can lead to death. But one new water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your donation today, Mission Water for Life can drill 415 water wells this year in 15 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any size, we'll send you Living in Love, James and Betty's new book that shares keys to an exciting and fulfilling marriage. You'll also receive Beth Moore's best-selling book, Praying God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to record and reflect on your own personal times with God. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture representing God's fatherly love for us as His children. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Isn't she absolutely wonderful? I'm surrounded by children just as precious as she is, children that deserve, just like every other child on the planet, to have a cup of clean water. Do you realize that of 85% of the children's deaths under 5 years of age, 85% of those are from waterborne diseases? It is an absolutely critical need, and in many, many cases, a matter of life and death. Would you consider being part of this with us, part of Mission Water for Life, offering a cup of clean water to children exactly like this precious one? Please do what you can. Go to the phone and join us in this partnership to give a gift of life through a cup of water.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for watching Life Today. Thank you for helping us share life today. Really encourage you to get Living in Love. I've even encouraged couples to get it because I'd like each member of the family to read it, the husband, the wife, and then highlight it. Get a highlighter. And then sit down and see, swap books and see what the other person highlighted. That will start the communication, I promise you. I hope you notice what God might be saying to you through Living in Love. And may I remind you that Emerson Eggerich has the book Love and Respect. That's his ministry. There's his website where he's going to be teaching. He's awesome. There's material available for every church and every pastor. It'd be wonderful. Would you say thanks to Emerson for coming and interviewing us and sharing? Emerson, bless you, brother.
Thank you
so much. Thank all of you for watching. And from the bottom of our heart, thank you for helping us share love and share life.
It worked. I mean, it just got the fire burning inside my soul, and I want so much to share it with you.
Praying God's Word tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.